Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
I wasn't going to do it.
You weren't going to do what?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, then.
Yeah. So,
welcome.
Fucking judging me.
Always. Go on. Get it out of your system. Say it at least once.
The balls are back, baby. All right.
All right. On that note, welcome to the show. Welcome to episode number 152 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
I'm Brutal Dave.
Who has a cold?
I will.
He has a brutal cold.
I will be providing your background coughing sounds for the evening.
It's ASMR coughing.
And I am George motherfucking Tripsis.
What's up, gentlemen? How are you guys doing?
Good. It's only been a month.
Close.
Almost.
Yeah.
The saying, absence makes a heart grow fonder.
It's exactly what it is.
Our absence makes your ears grow fonder.
To our three listeners.
I think maybe all four even.
Oh, hey now.
We've gone up one.
Slow your roll on that one.
Yeah. So what have you guys been up to?
Dave, you want to go first? You're the busy one.
I am, yeah. I'm getting ready for the Texas Renaissance Festival season. I've been doing some other stuff too. I went to Dallas for a family thing. Went to Six Flags and Hurricane Harbor up there. While we were up, yeah. Because when we talked about my trip to Six Flags on a previous show earlier this year. Well, when we did that, we just bought memberships for everybody because
pass.
It was cheap. It's actually they have season passes, but now they also have memberships.
Oh, what's a membership?
It's like a season pass, but it's month to month payments basically.
Oh, weird.
And we crunched numbers on it while we were there, and like that made the most financial sense at the time. So it's like a subscription to Six Flags basically, and it's good at any Six Flags location.
Subscriptions to everything.
I would do that.
So
I want to actually go back.
So I think you have to sign on for like a year. It's like a year contract, and then I think after that point I think you can go month to month.
What happens if you break your contract? Bugs Bunny comes
to
your house?
You have to pay up the whole rest of the year.
You have to ride the roller coaster without any kind of protection.
Bugs Bunny comes to your house and shoves a carrot up your ass or something.
Yes, that's what happens.
Do they still have Looney Tunes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I saw a bunch of the characters out there.
I don't know if they still had the rights for it.
Like Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes.
That's right, they still have a lot of DC stuff, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of new DC stuff is going up up there too. Yeah, they had the Justice League ride.
Didn't they just come out with a Wonder Woman ride somewhere?
That's Fiesta Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen video of that. You remember that one of our listeners, Brian Fuqua, he was at the live show at Comic Palooza, and we need to get him on the show because he said he's as much as we are into Disney and in Disney parks and stuff. That's how he is for the Six Flags theme park.
Yeah.
Wow.
He came in.
I didn't realize there was a fandom for the Six Flag parks.
There is, man. I'm upset.
I like Looney Tunes as much as the next guy.
I'm going nearby a Six Flags park next week, but it's closed the whole fucking week and all weekend.
Well, part of the deal was it just so happened that when we were going up for this family event was the last week that Six Flags was open for like the full week.
Yeah.
Because basically once schools start getting back in session, they are only open on weekends and that kind of thing. So we wanted to take the opportunity to go while we were there. And so we just did another quick day. And the day prior, we surprised the kids, took them to Hurricane Harbor. They didn't know we were going to do
What's
that.
What's Hurricane Harbor?
It's a water park. Yeah. It's right across the freeway from Six Flags Over Texas.
Right on. So. We had that here in Houston at one point. Waterworld.
The last time I was in Dallas was like 2 years ago, the day we were supposed to go to Six Flags, I wound up getting strip through.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah. So, didn't get to go.
But yeah, they've got a bunch of new...
I told you about licking those rides, man.
I didn't even make it into the park.
They've got a bunch of new DC themed stuff that's opened, like a lot of it just this year, I think. Up there.
There's a new Joker ride somewhere too.
That's open up there.
Yeah. It's like that weird, it's like a 90 degree drop in the beginning or something like that.
The Joker one, I've not seen another ride really like it.
Did you go on it?
Yeah, I did it when, not this trip, but the one prior. Nobody else would go with me. So I did it by myself.
I would have gone.
I actually probably fit in them.
There's no lateral movement on the ride. It all takes place in the same like vertical plane, right? Okay. So you load at the bottom and
it's like an elevator, right? Or something like that?
No, like it's a, think of like an I-beam, right? But all like stretched out and loopy and weird and shit. But like in this one vertical axis, right? So the ride vehicle is mounted to either side of that I-beam.
And it rocks, right?
It doesn't just rock, it's free spinning.
Hmm. Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So once you leave the loading dock, it unlocks, and you just go however physics decides to throw you, right? So, it's a somersault, degree of freedom kind of a thing there. So as it goes up and around this whole thing, you're just spinning free while it does this whole thing. It's not one I would do over and over again. It was cool. Oh, really? Like, I actually liked it more than I thought I was going to.
Hence you didn't do it again on this trip, right?
With that, I might have done it again. It was obscenely hot that day.
Was it crowded?
It wasn't real crowded. It was a little crowded, but wasn't too bad. But
the Texas
heat was.
Yeah.
It was that. Remember, like a couple weeks ago, the really fucking hot week all across Texas, the hotter than usual.
Yeah.
It was during that week. And like, actually,
and there's no shade in that park either.
There's not. No, there's not.
And they don't have those cool zones, whatever.
Yeah, but they're not that helpful.
Is all you really
right.
Do.
So now I'm also humid and sticky. Thanks.
Yeah. Getting sprayed hot water on.
Yeah, we showed up and I was gonna run around with our older daughter because she wanted to do the thrill rides, and so I was gonna run with her. My wife is gonna run with their younger daughter to do the more like chilled out stuff. And first thing she wanted to do was go ride the Batman ride where your feet hang. Where the ride vehicle is basically like upside down sort of a thing.
I remember that one in Astroworld. The Batman escape ride in Astroworld is like you had like that little seat in your crotch area that was very painful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We used to call it the crotch killer.
Yep.
And that was the first one she wanted to do. And I did not enjoy it.
The Batman ride?
Yeah. I mean, I like that ride. Yeah. I've been on it 100 times. But on that particular day, I did not enjoy myself because it was so fucking hot outside that I felt sick. And when the ride ended, I was like, I don't know if I can do this today.
It's like I'm calling quits.
I might have to call this one quits already.
Do they have the Ultra Twister there?
No, that's been dismantled.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they took it to another park.
What's that? What is that?
It was the ride that was here in. Astroworld, where you went up and you fell directly 90 degree drop, and then you just spin the whole entire way down.
It wasn't the entire way, but there was like,
yeah. It's the when you hit the apex of going straight, you just spin the whole entire way.
They never had that at Six Flags Over Texas. I've seen that ride. I've not been on it.
Did you not get to it at Astroworld?
I've never went to Astroworld.
Really?
Yeah, never went.
Oh wow.
I don't think so. But I was at one park somewhere that had. That I don't remember what park I was at.
I think Ultra Twister before Astroworld shut down, it was like a one of a kind attraction. It was like the only place in the world.
Then I might have been at Astroworld. I don't remember ever going to Astroworld.
White
and blue.
Green, white and blue. Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
And then they had the Accelerate. I also liked that ride a lot as a kid.
Accelerate was fun.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that ride in person.
It was on all the promo stuff.
I saw it in person, so maybe I did go to Astroworld.
You must
at some
have
point.
Been.
So
I love Texas Cyclone. That was a
that was fun. I like riding in the front,
yeah,
or in the far back because you feel the cart come off the tracks a bit.
Such a good ride, man.
You always ride the Texas Bullet and Kima Boardwalk.
That's actually not a bad roller coaster.
It's a bumpy roller coaster.
It's still good though. I mean, it's a wooden roller coaster, but it has the framework, the for the actual coaster, it's iron. So it's not as bumpy as it could be. I've been on some really fucking bumpy wooden
like when it hits those bank turns, it's pretty bumpy.
So one of the things that has surprised me in at Six Flags Over Texas is the remodel of the Texas Giant, which apparently happened like 10 years ago, but it's been that long since
the last time I was. Yeah, it's been that long for me too. That was a bumpy ass ride. I heard.
So I remember when the Texas Giant opened originally, and like what a huge deal it was when it opened. And then I remember as the years went on and all of that wood got weathered and settled and everything. And when I used to go in my early 20s to Six Flags, me and one of my friends, we dubbed that ride the pain train because it hurt so much to ride the Texas Giant. It did not age well. So I guess about 10 years ago, they completely ripped the track out and remodeled it. And so the track is now steel,
yeah,
but it's built like inside the skeleton of the old Texas Giant,
right,
with a lot of the original wood and everything like that. It's now probably the smoothest ride at the park, and it has the initial drop has been increased to like 70 or 80 degrees, something ridiculous. Like the initial drop is incredibly
steep. They did that to the one in Fiesta, Texas, too, the Rattler.
Did they?
They called it, now it's the Iron Rattler.
Okay.
I haven't been there since they've redone it. And I really need to get to a Six Flags park.
I think I've only been to Fiesta Texas once.
It's fun.
I haven't been.
I don't think I've ever been to Fiesta Texas.
Sounds like a road trip in the making.
It sounds like a road trip. I should have. Last week, Six Flags had a special. You get like a season pass or whatever. It was like $70 or something like that. Good deal, but I should have jumped on it.
Faux show.
Gives you a reason to fucking go, you know?
Most definitely.
See, I'm trying to remember so the new DC stuff they had there, they have the Justice League ride.
Did they have the Martha ride?
Huh?
They have the Martha ride?
No. They might.
Why'd you say that name? That's all you hear throughout the whole ride.
It's an audio experience.
Martha!
But this one is a dark ride, like an interactive dark ride.
Isn't it like a...
like the Mayan Mindbender?
Well, no. Isn't it like a Buzz Lightyear?
Sort of like the Buzz Lightyear sort of thing.
Are you shooting stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was one at Fiesta Texas that was Scooby-Doo like that.
Okay.
And they're not as good as like something at Disney. Mm. It's still fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, we did it.
Is it like Men in Black caliber?
Probably. The Scooby-Doo one that I went on, it was more neon-painted, like, cardboard, it felt like. It was still fun,
this one's
what it was supposed to be, you know?
This one's like a mix. Like, there's, you'll go through some rooms, and it'll be, like, animatronic stuff happening. There's not a lot of characters in those parts. It's more like you're going through environments and stuff's happening. And then you go into rooms with big screens, and the big screens is what you're shooting at.
Okay.
Is on the screens, so...
Is it 3D or?
Yeah, you wear 3D glasses and that whole thing. So
that would be fun.
It's cool. I enjoyed it. We did it a whole bunch of times. They have that. They just opened the new Harley Quinn ride out there, which I haven't done because it just opened when we were there this last time.
And what is a Harley Quinn ride?
It is like
a very sad existence.
It's
an annoying ride.
Loud and screechy. Trying to think of how to describe it. You know the gyroscopes? It's like you have like the one loop that spins in this direction and then the other loop inside of it that spins the other axis and then the other one inside that mm-hmm. does the other degree. It's that, but fucking gigantic.
For a lot, how many people can go on that ride?
I don't know for sure, but just like estimating, I would guess you can sit maybe 12-20 people across.
Wow.
The front.
And so everyone just kind of just
and it,
going upside down and yeah, left to right and shit.
It looks truly dizzying. Yeah.
So it's like the big astronaut training thing,
kinda,
but for people.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now on their website. But here's the deal. They have their flash sale is extended 70% off their 2019 season pass, and there's the membership right here, $6.99 a month. Is that what you paid for it?
I don't remember what we signed up for.
You get 3 months free, 60% off the season prize, unlimited soft drinks, and preferred parking.
Bum bum bum.
So yeah, there's different levels of the membership. So I got the not the it's not like the highest level membership, but it's like one of the mid range ones. So I get like a parking pass, and I got the refillable drink and all that kind of stuff. We only got one at that level because it only made sense to get one at that level.
Right now, $65.99 for a season pass.
It's a lot of money.
It's not bad for a season pass, though.
Considering when you pay for like a day to go there, it's probably like $40-$50 now.
Is it really that much money for a ticket?
Sure. You know how much a ticket is for Disney World for Magic Kingdom for one day? It's like $115.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, you can't really compare
the attractions you're
going to get at Disney World the attractions that you're going to get at Six Flags.
So what have you been up to? You seen any movies?
Yeah, I saw a movie called Summer of 84 recently. And basically,
I've been seeing Summer of 84 stuff pop up everywhere, but I don't know anything about it.
It's from the makers who made Turbo Kid.
Okay, and I haven't watched that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should check it out on Amazon Prime.
I still haven't seen Turbo Kid.
Awesome. So because I saw that movie and I got the chance to meet the filmmakers who made that like years ago when that movie came out, that's the only reason I had any idea about this movie, because I follow them on their social media and stuff like that. And Alamo had an early screening for it. And so basically the plot is that it takes place in the summer of 84, what the title of the movie is. And the kids, the main kids in the story, catch wind of kids going missing from the town next door, like the town next to their town. And basically, they start to like theorize what's going on, that maybe there's a serial killer on the loose. And like one kid thinks this is the most exciting news that this town's ever heard. And they finally something exciting's happening for their summer. And then when another kid goes missing, happens to be in that town, they start to speculate who the killer is. And then the kid believes that it's the next door neighbor. And the catch is that the next door neighbor is a police officer of the town.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you've seen Fright Night and any of the 80s movie tropes, it's chock full of that.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. It's
Is it wide release now or?
No, I don't think so. It's available on Amazon Prime for rent. So if you can't catch it. If you can't find it anywhere at the theater, you can rent it from Amazon.
I have seen two movies in the theater recently because I bought the AMC, A-list
thing?
Yeah. Because I went to go see The Meg with a friend, and...
How was that?
The Meg is fun. It's not great, but it's exactly what you want it to be. It's a giant shark that attacks people with Jason Statham.
Does he kick a shark in the face?
Does he punch a shark in the face?
I think he punches the shark.
There you go. That sounds more like my Jason Statham right there.
You fucking wanker. And then he punches it in the face.
Pretty much.
And it blows up some kind of way.
You know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little more serious than it should be.
That's what I was kind of feeling. Like, all right, they're making like a Piranha-type-esque movie. But they're taking it super seriously.
No. It's not like Piranha at all. It's trying to combine that with like the seriousness of like Jaws, that type of. But it's just a ridiculous premise of a movie. But it's fun.
They really toned down the violence and gore though, so that's why it's like a PG-13 movie, right?
Maybe there wasn't a lot.
Originally supposed to be like super bloody and super violent, and I guess they toned it down for a wider release to make more money.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I mean it's definitely fun. It's if you're looking for like just go to the movie and not really.
I don't want to waste my money at the movie theater for that.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, I'll wait till Netflix or HBO.
And the other movie I saw in the theater was Happy Time Murders.
Another movie I'm not going to waste my money on.
No, I know you won't.
Jim Henson's son,
Brian Henson. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, did he do that?
Yeah, he directed it.
I
wrote it and directed.
Was not aware that that was the case.
It's
okay.
It's an interesting movie. I thought it would have been. Here's what I'm gonna say. I wished it was better than it was because the premise is cool. I know people fucking hate Melissa McCarthy. Whatever. Mind me talking about that part of it, but The pacing was weird. It was a crime noir movie, you know, And people are saying, oh, it's the dirtiest thing you've ever seen, blah, blah, blah.
People have short memories. They forgot about Meet the Team Feebles, America.
Or Meet the Feebles.
Yeah.
Meet the Feebles did it in a proper way.
Like, yeah, like as soon as I started seeing promotions for this, I'm like, oh, Meet the Feebles is back. So
this did it in a way to try to be overly shocking, but it wasn't really. I don't know.
Right. So for what I understand, I have not seen this movie, so I can't talk too much to the testament. But from the reviews that I've read, people say like they took a really good concept with really good production value and did nothing with it. They just kind of did everything like low hanging fruit and surface.
I can definitely
surface
see that.
Level. They didn't really try to go beyond the actual.
I mean, the puppetry in the movie was shot looked nice. The puppetry was really cool. It looked like a modern Muppet movie, you know.
Yeah.
If
it just makes me feel like, oh, they should have just made the Muppets.
Well, yeah.
And take but out Melissa McCarthy.
But he wanted to. Yeah. He wanted to make a dirtier version of the
He
Muppets.
Wanted to make Who Framed Roger Rabbit is what he wanted to make.
I can see that comparison. It's not as good as Who Framed Roger Rabbit by any sense. But
that's like the outline he's going for. And there was like a YouTube show a long time ago that did like puppet murder mystery, whatever, where basically a puppet got murdered and the puppet was trying to solve it with his human buddy.
Oh. Not to spoil anything in the movie, if anybody wants to go see it, I mean, the plot was...
Was it a hand?
No, it was not a hand.
A hand wasn't...
That would have been that,
that
would have
been hilarious if a hand was a killer.
All of a sudden, a hand comes up on the screen and the killer with blood all over it.
That would have been great.
You should have wrote this movie. It
would
have
been funny if it was like a hand with googly eyes on it.
Here's what I would say.
With those little rings with the googly eyes.
It's a serviceable movie.
Yeah.
It's not... Great.
This is also one of those movies I'm just going to catch when it comes on TV.
I wanted to support Brian Henson, and hopefully more stuff like this could get made in the future. Plus, I had that pass, so... Wasn't that
yeah, good? I mean, you have the pass. Why not use it? I mean, you paid for it already, so...
Still haven't seen Mission Impossible. I wanted to go see that.
I saw that.
I know.
It was fucking good. Did I talk about that last time I was here?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to try to see it during Labor Day, but we just so much shit and started
so
going
good.
On.
Easily the best movie of the summer. Probably the best action film of the year.
I did watch a movie on, we had Showtime over the weekend.
Yeah.
I watched Patriot's Day. About the
Mark
Boston,
Wahlberg movie?
Yeah, about the Boston bombings.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was actually done well.
What's fun about people getting blown up, Gary?
Sick. You're sick.
You are sick.
Bombings are fun. Don't take that out of context.
And there's the soundbite.
No, it's a good movie.
It's a Peter Berg movie, right?
Peter Berg directed it. I like movies that deal those type of movies. I like
reality based movies.
Well, you know, just disasters that happen and like the aftermath, trying to figure everything out, that type of thing.
Mm.
And
I hear
really
Mile
well.
22, which is the new Peter Berg movie, is terrible. That's what I hear. Also with Mark Wahlberg.
And I had no idea that Patriot's Day, the soundtrack was done by Trent Reznor. I was like, oh, okay. Makes a little sense.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. That's why Trent Reznor can't make music anymore. Because he's too busy making scores.
I'm sure he's making a lot more money doing that.
It's the only movie theater stuff I've done recently was I went to the Riff Tracks Kroll.
Oh,
how was that?
It was good. Yeah, I mean, what do you expect?
Was it Kroll-tastic?
It's Kroll and it's Riff Tracks doing Kroll.
Isn't Dennis Quaid in that?
No.
Or is it Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson's in it.
There you go.
And so is Hagrid.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Who does he play?
He's another one of the bandits. He's in the same like bandit crew that Liam Neeson is part of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have not seen Kroll since
Liam
I
Neeson's
was
like
a kid.
First roles too, isn't it?
Yeah. He looks pretty young. Yeah, and he's not like a major character in it.
Did he have a particular set of skills?
They made that joke repeatedly.
I'm sure they did.
I have a certain set of skills. That's my Sean Connery doing Liam Neeson.
I've been playing a couple of games. Remember that game we talked about last time on the Switch called Dead Cells?
Yeah, kind of. I remember talking about it.
That game is addicting as all can be.
Is that the 80s nostalgia game that you were talking about?
No. Dead Cells, it's a Metroidvania meets like what's the other term? A roguelike.
Oh yeah,
game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So each time you play the game, it's what's the terminology? I can't think of it. Like
every
randomly
time you,
generated,
procedural
generated. Yeah, the levels are different every time you play it. So you start at the beginning, and then your main goal is to build up your character and get these cells. And after between levels, you can actually buy upgrades and make your character better. So when you start, once you die and you start back at the beginning the next time, you're more powerful, you have better weapons, all this kind of stuff.
It's a very punishing game.
It is.
Roguelikes generally are. Roguelikes are generally very,
very difficult game, but it's a lot of fun. It's really smooth.
People who hate themselves, basically.
It's not that bad. The gameplay, I mean, it's smooth. It's just a blast to play. I love this game. I recommend it. It's on all the systems, I think. PS4 and Xbox and all that kind of stuff.
I played a game.
What'd you play?
I finished God of War, finally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have not.
It's fucking awesome.
I need to finish that game.
Dude, the story of that game is great. I can't wait for the sequel now. When I was done playing it, I wanted like the sequel immediately to play.
Really?
Yeah. I just couldn't.
Right, boy.
Boy.
Go over here, boy.
Boy.
What you doing, boy? My mom just died, Dad. Okay, boy.
Boy. How far in the game have you gotten?
Maybe 40%.
Where are you in the game? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's been about a month since I picked it up. So, the one part where you go, you find where you can go to different worlds, like Midgard.
So
I've done
the port key, basically the area.
I think I did the first off world thing, and then came back, and that's where I'm at now.
All right, you had to go to like that place where all the wasp dudes were.
Yes.
And you just steal their thing that they held treasuredly dear or whatever, that light or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Then I came back. And
yeah, that's real early in the game. You got a long way to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Not 40%, huh?
That's a long way into the game. Crap. Are you even playing any of the side missions, or are you just going straight story?
I've done side missions too, yeah.
Oh, I ignored the side missions. I went back to them. Really? I'll go back to them later.
But Spider-Man comes out as we record this tomorrow.
It comes out tomorrow, and I can't wait.
My copy is coming tomorrow, but I don't get to play it for a while.
I'm picking mine up right after work, and I will play it sometime soon.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm excited to play it.
And Tomb Raider comes out next week, too.
Apparently, they came out with like two games since the last game I played, and I just had no idea that there's been three games already.
There was Rise of the Tomb Raider and then something else of the Tomb Raider. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Just two games, yeah.
Apparently there's another game out of the Tomb Raider. One. Yeah, I had no idea. I thought this was the second one.
No, this is the third one since they've rebooted it.
But I had no idea.
I'm going to talk about this other game that I've been playing real quick called Strange Brigade. Have you heard of it?
You can't play it.
It's I've already played it. Can't tell me.
Is it that game where like you're archaeologists in the 1930s and you're like shooting mummies and stuff?
Exactly right.
Yeah. I saw the trailer for this.
Is it an amazing game? No. Is it a fun as hell game? Yes. This game is a lot of fun. It's not amazing. The levels are really long and it can get difficult, but
I saw a trailer. The voice acting seems funny.
The voice acting is great. The whole time you're playing the game,
there's like a narrator, there's an
announcer talking to you about stuff, and it's totally 1930s style. It's
here on the news brigade.
Exactly right.
We're gonna go raise a mummy.
Yep. It reminds me of the original Mummy movie that
with Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
Before he lost the hair.
He just got cast in
Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol, yeah. The cyborg guy. I can't think of his real name.
He's just doing the voice.
But flashbacks, too, before he became...
Yeah, I guess they'll have him do those scenes. Yeah. But I guess majority of it's going to be...
But I like Strange Brigade. It's a cheaper game. It was only $40.
$40 is a cheaper game to you?
Compared to $60, yeah.
I guess. All right.
But it's a fun game. I played that a lot over the holiday, and then me and my wife started playing A Way Out.
Oh, man, I wanted to play that game.
So apparently,
but you have to have two players to play it.
I'll play it with you because what you have to do, which I saw the
you got to download code though, right?
No, oh. The code. Okay, so here's the way it works. I thought it was a code to download, but what you need to do is go download the trial version of the game on your system.
Yeah,
and then I start up the game and I can invite you into my game, so you're playing the entire game through my system.
Oh, cool!
There's no one code for a download or any of that kind of stuff. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean,
I've been meaning to pick it up. It looks very cinematic and very cool looking.
Yeah. I heard it's not very long. We're maybe an hour or so into it. We're still trying to.
I hear it's like a 12 hour campaign or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. If that's not true, then I was misled. But
we're maybe an hour and a half into it. We're still trying to escape out of the prison.
Oh, okay. So that's really early in the game.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun, though. I want to get back
to it. It looks cool. And the fact that it was like a development team of like four or five people.
It's only like $30 new.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's cheap. It's a good game, though.
I was going to buy that during Black Friday.
But it's only a two-player game.
Yeah, I know.
You can't play single player at all.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Just warning you on that one.
I'm well aware. If I play, I was going to have to rope in my girlfriend to play or something.
No, that's not going to work because it's only online play. There's not
really. You can't have a single console.
It's not a co-op. No.
What?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
So what we were doing? We were playing on my screen.
Yeah.
On my TV, but my wife was, you know, had it up on hers. But we were watching and playing it on this one because what it does, it sort of dual screens it, and then like if one character is doing a more important part or gets to like more of a narrative style of the game, their screen will get bigger, yours will get smaller, that type of thing.
Right.
It's done really, really well.
Yeah, it's cool, but the fact that you can't play on one console is annoying. That sucks. I thought that's the only reason I wanted to buy it, because you could play it on one console.
Yeah, you can't.
That's lame. Now I'm less interested in buying
it. Couch co-op is a thing of the past.
Unfortunately, it's true. I love couch co-op. Even the last Halo game didn't fucking have couch co-op, if I remember correctly.
I think that's right. I don't really keep up with Halo, but I think I remember hearing that.
What voice from the other room? Borderlands, yeah.
I also went to a art show recently.
What's that?
Mondo is like...
What's art?
Art. It's a thing that you have a lot of on your walls. If anyone who doesn't know me, I'm a big poster fanatic. Especially movie posters.
Especially Mondo.
And movie posters of movies that I love. So I'm a big fan of Ninja Turtles, if you didn't know. And Mondo recently had a Ninja Turtle art show. And so
Is this Austin?
Yeah, it was in Austin at their gallery.
Okay.
And I made the 2-hour drive right after work. I didn't think I was going to go, but the last minute I said, fuck it, I'm going to go.
Just go by yourself?
No, I went with a friend of mine.
Okay.
And he's never been to one of those things before, so he wanted to go. And we went, and I went with the intention of buying only one poster there. There was only one poster I wanted for sure, because I saw it on the website. And it was a Ninja Turtles 2 poster. And man, it looks awesome. But when I got there, I saw the other posters that they had available, and I ended up leaving away with 5 posters.
Did you mortgage your house to get them?
No. They're only like $40.
Okay.
Well, except for the variant one I got. That one was $78.
Fuck. For a poster?
Dude, you know how much that poster's worth now? It's like $280 now.
I'm sure, yeah. Mondos go up like crazy.
Like the day after, that poster is well worth what I paid for it. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sell it either.
Have you framed them all already? Or?
Yeah, I framed them all.
Nice.
No, I haven't hung them up yet, but I framed them because I got to rearrange posters now. Because I have no idea where I'm going to put this shit in my house.
Start putting them on the ceiling.
I now have more Ninja Turtle posters in my office than anything else. It's annoying. But anyway, it was a fun show. I really liked it. They had a lot of good art. Like on the Ninja Turtles 2 poster, there's a secret Vanilla Ice guy hidden in the poster. It's great. And then the variant cover, I bought the Ninja Turtles 1 movie poster, but it's a variant. So like the background's red and it's all in Japanese letters, and Shredder is really huge in the picture.
I think I've seen that.
Probably.
I looked at part of the pictures from the gallery after they, because I think you were there.
Yeah. So apparently I was on their live stream and I had no idea.
Yeah. I think I saw that because you posted that you were there.
Yeah.
I did go to a concert recently.
What?
Those
things don't exist.
So if you're a Houston, if you're from Houston or from Texas, one of our legendary metal bands is a band called Dead Horse. They started in the late 80s, and I started seeing them like probably 90, 91 when I was in high school. I saw them so many fucking times at like the Axiom and the Vatican back in the day on Washington, all that kind of stuff. First and only time I ever did a stage dive was at a Dead Horse show.
Oh, was it, you recently did a stage dive?
No, this is when I was like
man, Carrie, your hips must be hurting.
This is when I was like 18 or something. Not now. Before probably even that. I used to sneak out to go to Dead Horse shows all the time. But, you know, the band now is different. We've played them on MSRcast before. It's all the original band members except the vocalist. Now they have a guy named Michael Argo. He's been in the band for a while now. And the original vocalist, Mike Haga, huge fan of him. Hasn't been in the band since probably mid-90s, so it's been a long time. And they were gone for a good while. But a couple weeks ago at the Scout Bar, they did their last show ever. And I am doing that with quotes because you never know that's going to be true. So the show was basically all the members of the band all have side projects, right? And all their different side projects were the ones that opened up the show. So like there's
that's
a band,
kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, Baron von Bomblast, which is like the guitar player Scott, his band. Who else did I see? I can't think of all the bands, but right before Dead Horse came out, you ever heard of Pasadena Napalm Division?
How are they not so tired when Dead Horse come out?
I don't know. They played a good hour, 45, 2 hour set almost.
All right. And then like all their side bands before that.
Actually, I have a screenshot of the band. Yeah. So right before Dead Horse came out, Pasadena Napalm Division came out. Did about a 15-20 minute set, which is basically Dead Horse with Kurt Brecht from DRI as vocalist. So they had an album out and everything. It was an amazing show. This is the most packed I've seen Scout Bar in a long time. It was super fucking crowded. The Dead Horse fans were out in droves, man. It was great. I think the only time I've ever seen a show almost that crowded was Testament when they played there. When Sabaton played there last year, it was way too crowded.
Way too small of a venue for Sabaton. Oh. And for Testament for that.
Yeah,
matter.
For Testament for sure. Sabaton, when I saw them before, I seen him like three times there. And each time they progressively got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
One of the shows that we saw with Sabaton, Sean was there with us. They were headlining. And there was only like 75 people there. Next time it was like packed. It's crazy. That band knows how to really tour a lot to get their name out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dead Horse show was great. I actually picked up an old school Dead Horse shirt I haven't had in a long time. I used to have like when I was like much, much, much bigger, I had like a 3X version of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you make that into a flag or something.
I probably could make like a quilt out of it or something. I was super happy to buy that. And I bought a bunch of stuff. I bought a couple CDs or a CD I didn't have and certain things like that. It was weird. The merch guy is like, I feel so bad. You know, when you go up to somebody, he's like, oh, hey, it's Kerry Gordon. How you doing? I was like, oh, shit, I don't know who this guy is. Hey, man, how's it going? Gave me a discount, too. I'm like,
the merch guy remembered you?
Yeah, he knew
from
my
like
name.
Back in the day?
I don't know.
You don't know where you know this guy from?
I don't remember where I know him. I didn't want to look like an asshole either.
You have too many fans is the problem.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I know him from somewhere, but I...
You're too popular.
That's got
to
be it.
You need to rain down your fandom.
It's got
to
be it. But, yeah, it was an amazing show. A lot of friends were there. They said, you know, they're not going to play any shows. Sometimes they'll do a Dead Horse barbecue, and they'll play backyard barbecue type stuff. Yeah. So.
It wasn't a play on the name, Dead Horse Barbecue. Never mind.
I don't know what they serve there. Could be a Dead Horse. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, if you're a Dead Horse fan and you weren't at the last show, you missed out.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
I went to a Harry Potter convention.
You did?
I did.
I know.
And it was all right.
I've heard a couple things about it.
I mean, like, they charged a lot of money. It was my biggest deal. Like, for a day ticket, it was like almost $70.
Fuck.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, preface this. Was it called LeakyCon, right?
Yeah, it was called LeakyCon. It's the official
or Wizarding con. World and Universal.
It's not even a question. It's okay. Wizarding World for is the always going to be the winner. You can't beat that magic. And I think that was my biggest beef about this show. It wasn't the fact that... I mean, they had a lot of cool vendors and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, there was no magic to the show whatsoever. There wasn't, like, set dressing. Like, for a show to be specific.
Yeah.
You know, just about Harry Potter... Like, they should have dressed up the area to make it look like you're in fucking Hollywood Dagonon Alley, or whatever the fuck it's called. And
add some kind of magical.
Right. And then you should have cosplayers, like paid cosplayers, to walk around and be these characters. And
I see
people
that.
Pretend to be or.
They didn't have any of that kind of stuff?
They didn't have nothing like that.
So was this like a merch room? And like
yeah, they had a really for autographs? They had a really big merch room. Dan Fogler was there. And. One of the ladies from Fantastic Beasts was there.
And Dan Fogler's cool, but...
Yeah, he's cool. He was there for a day.
I'm sure he's not...
Okay. I went and listened to him talk. He seemed nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they had, like, a whole bunch of, like, fan shit that I never heard of. Like, Star Kid.
Anybody asking about Ball of Fury?
No.
Damn it.
Not even one.
Damn. I would have.
Yeah, that would have been, like, the thing. He's like, dude, that chick was hot in Balls of Fury. But anyway, it was a good show. I think for people who don't normally go to cons or anything like that, or kids who don't go or feel like they don't belong in cons like that.
Sure.
I think this was that con that kind of serviced that middle ground where it serviced the general public who's never been to that kind of thing before, and also people who are just fans.
Okay.
And I just felt like they just could have had more... stuff to do for the ticket price that they're charging people. I didn't see that reflected in the show that I got, and I think that's what upset me the most, because we bought tickets for Saturday and Sunday because Catherine's a huge Harry Potter fan.
Your girlfriend's like a huge fan.
Yeah. And so we bought it last Christmas as a Christmas gift to her, and we were thinking, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a fun show because it's the official con.
Right.
Like, this is the first traveling con, first time it's ever been to Texas. And we thought it was going to be a big show, and really it wasn't. We did everything you could possibly
do. Did she have a good time?
The first day.
Was she disappointed, too?
Yeah, she was a little disappointed. But, I mean, like, for what it was all right. Like, it was no need.
Did she do any autographs or any of that kind of stuff?
Nah. No. She's not that kind of a fan. She's more of a fan who likes to experience stuff. Yeah. So,
gotcha.
It was all right. Like, I wouldn't go again. I mean, if I had free tickets, I might go, but I wouldn't pay for another show unless, like, J.K. Rowling was guaranteed to be a guest there or something.
Okay.
Or, like, Daniel Radcliffe or something.
That'd be huge.
That would be huge, but I wouldn't talk to him about Harry Potter stuff.
What was the level of star power?
Dan Fogler was the largest person there. Everyone else, they had, like, B and C characters. They had, like, Ivan Drago.
From Rocky?
No, Ivan Drago. The Russian dude from Goblet of Fire, whatever the fuck his name was.
I don't know. I've seen the movies. I don't really remember names.
I've only seen the
Victor Crumb. That's his name. That's his character's name in the book, or in the movie. Sorry.
Who?
Victor Crumb.
Okay.
Yeah, he's, like, the big athlete, whatever, in Goblet of Fire.
You've seen the movies? Is that what you said?
I've seen the first three.
Okay.
That's the extent of my
Okay, the one I'm talking about is in the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets darker in the end.
It gets
much darker.
We have a box set of them now, so I'm gonna watch them. But we were kind of waiting for at least our older daughter to like read the books and then watch the movies, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
See, I like it the reverse.
You watch the movies and read the books.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading the books now with with Catherine. Yeah.
Y'all read together?
Yeah.
At night.
Sometimes.
Well, that's so cute.
I know.
Oh, my God.
We're like the picture-perfect couple.
All right, fuck that. Moving on. You ready to get some Doom on?
What?
You ready to Doom on?
Doom on?
Doom on.
Doom on.
Yes, exactly. You ready?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. back to the show. We just got finished listening to a song for George Hates Metal, and that band is called Windhand.
Oh, that
is it
band.
Windhand or Windhand? I always thought it was Windhand.
Maybe Windhand.
Windhand.
You wind a hand Windahand. Or you wind a hand? I don't know.
Maybe it's Windhand.
So before we get into like a little background on them, let's get your opinion.
It was all right. Not bad. I didn't hate it. Didn't scream for it either. But, it was not bad.
Okay.
There you go.
Elaborate, please.
I don't really have much to say. It had like a very slow feel to the music, which is not always. Yeah, not bad. I like, some of the fuzz in the guitar was good. And the singer sounds like a pale imitation of Kurt Cobain a little bit.
I can see that.
Yep.
So the female is the female.
It's a female.
It is.
She sounds like a dude.
She does. Her name is Dorothea Cottrell.
Mm.
So this band is on Relapse Records. This is the 2018 song they just put out. I guess they're going to have an upcoming album soon. The last album they put out was in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
They are produced by Jack Endino. And if you don't know who that is, he's a famed record producer from the grunge era, 90s.
That would explain the very 90s feel.
He did Nirvana, he did Mudhoney, Soundgarden, all that early stuff. He was in a band called Skin Yard as a guitar player.
Never heard of him.
Yep. So that's definitely why the vocals definitely sound like Kurt Cobain.
And also like the beat and the rhythm of the song. It had a very 90s feel to it.
Yeah. It's like doom metal and grunge mixed together.
De grunge.
Doom grunge.
Doom grunge.
But it works.
Grunge.
I like him a lot.
Grunge-oom. Grunge-oom. There you go.
Grunge-doom, yeah.
Grunge-doom.
So what did you think about him, Dave?
I've listened to them a little bit before, not a whole lot. I like them okay. I just haven't really taken the time to get into it. It sounds good. I don't have anything to complain about. It's all sounds that I like.
Right.
I just haven't really taken the time to delve into the
material. You're right.
For
a doom band, they are more fuzzy than most doom bands usually are.
Mm.
I guess it depends on what part of the doom
spectrum.
Because doom in itself, there's so many different kinds of doom metal alone. So
there's a subgenre for the subgenre about the subgenre.
Yes.
Well, there's multiple subgenres of the subgenre. Yeah, right.
But
it's true.
That heavy, heavy fuzz is certainly an aspect of a lot of doom metal. So. But it did. I agree that it had a very kind of like 90s sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the production feel, but like the delivery itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Made me want to buy some Doc Martens and
the vocal delivery, just the cadence of the vocals.
Tie a plaid shirt around my waist.
You're almost wearing a plaid shirt right now.
Almost.
Almost. You're almost ready.
Almost there.
Yeah. I dig these guys a lot. They're actually touring soon. They're going to be here.
It's kind of weird to picture you in the grunge era.
Why?
I don't know.
What about me?
Yeah, I could probably see you fit in the grunge era. Yeah,
I was a big grunge fan back in the day.
It's just hard to picture you in the grunge era. I don't know why.
I didn't dress like it or anything like that, but
I sure as shit did.
I was about to say,
ripped jeans and flannel shirts. I was doing all that shit.
Were you really?
Oh, fuck
yeah. I
gave
your hair probably about the same length.
Okay, I'll tell you this. I got rid of the last of my flannel shirts from that era less than 3 years ago.
I still have a flannel shirt that I wear when it gets cold.
Truth be told, I've never owned a flannel shirt.
Really?
That was the era of music when I discovered music. Mm. Like, that was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my age. Like, so...
I was already into metal, of course, but I liked what a lot of grunge bands are doing. So let's talk about this. Talk about this now. Who are some of your favorite grunge bands? I hate that term grunge.
I know it's
early 90s alternative.
It communicates
rock.
what we're talking about though. Like, because grunge has roots in punk and metal and
pop.
Absolutely, it does. Alternative rock, college, garage bands,
mainstream, college.
Yeah, the influences were pretty diverse. I use grunge generally more to describe a time period
Yeah.
than a style per se.
A lot of bands that were from the Seattle area.
What year did Airheads come out?
Airheads was like 93?
Yeah, 93. That's not grunge, though.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's the quintessential, like, grunge...
Airheads?
Yes.
Airheads is it's more akin to, like, hair metal and stuff like that.
Yes, I know, but the fashion and all the people in the movie is that 1990s MTV grunge era.
I get what you're saying. The costume design is grunge. The subject matter was like all the bands they talked about were like metal bands and stuff like that. But no,
the soundtrack was metal.
But no, Brendan Fraser like looked like he fell off of the back of Pearl Jam's truck. Like
and the movie band felt like a grunge band.
Yeah,
Brendan Fraser was a rejected extra from Singles.
Yeah, yeah. But no, to answer your question, most of the ones that you would think of, I guess
Nirvana.
Nirvana was one of the first bands I ever listened to. Period.
Mm.
I don't listen to them often anymore. You mentioned earlier you were listening to the Unplugged album.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think it's probably the best material they ever put out.
It is. It's the fantastic album.
Yeah, it's great.
I'll admit I don't listen to Nirvana as much as I usually.
Yeah, I usually can't listen to it anymore because of how popular it is.
I loved Nirvana back in the day. I actually saw them live twice.
Oh wow!
First time was
he wearing a dress that time?
Yes, I think so. Once was before they got really big. It was Bleach, I think, was the album. It was right when
that was the
that
one
was their first album. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Bleach was the first
their sub pop album.
They were starting to play songs from Nevermind already live, but the album hadn't come out yet. And the next time I saw them was years later when Shonen Knife opened up for me. It was like the Astro Arena or someplace like that. It was huge.
When they Shonen Knife sounds so familiar.
They're a Japanese band. All female Japanese band.
I think I've not seen them but heard them before.
But yeah, I mean, Soundgarden was great.
Soundgarden was one of my favorites. Alice in Chains.
I love Alice in Chains. Yeah. Still
aren't they playing tomorrow?
They're playing tomorrow
night.
They
came out with a new album.
If it came up, I was going to talk about it a little
bit. Yes, me too. I've listened to it multiple times.
I've listened to it once.
It's good. It's really good.
I need to spend some more time with it, but I've enjoyed what I've heard so far.
I've had a hard time to like the new Alice in Chains band.
No.
I don't know.
You're just wrong.
I don't know.
I know it's not Lane and all that.
So I've never been in the if it's not Lane, it's not Alice in Chains.
Me
camp,
too.
Because to me, Alice in Chains
is Jerry Cantrell.
Is Jerry Cantrell.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, yes, but I don't know. None of the songs are like earworms, like their older ones were.
I disagree. So they've had some of the material's been really good.
Maybe I just haven't given it a fair shake.
What's the vocalist now? What is his name? I can't remember off the top of my head.
The sound alike to the other guy?
Well, I was going to say I don't think that he's not like a replacement of Layne Staley. He doesn't sound enough like him, but he sounds enough like Jerry Cantrell,
William Duvall.
William Duvall, that's right. I think he
any
sounds
relation to Robert Duvall.
Probably
not.
I'm just asking.
Wrong color.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
You don't know what's going on in Robert Duvall's
we
family
don't.
Tree.
That's very true. So. It is Robert Duvall.
But I think he sounds enough like Jerry Cantrell that when they hit their harmonized stuff, he sounds like a split between Layne Staley and Jerry Cantrell.
That's what makes Alice in Chains that signature Jerry Cantrell harmonizing.
Is the harmonizing.
No matter who he's working with, when he was playing with Hart and all this kind of stuff, when they were doing stuff, when Jerry started singing, it's like it sounds like Alice in Chains. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know if Alice in Chains is responsible. I imagine I could probably find some things earlier in my life, but I'm a sucker for vocal harmony.
Yeah,
I love it.
Like
I love
Blues Traveler.
I love vocal harmony.
Galactic Cowboys.
I don't know much about Galactic Cowboys.
I think if you really like harmonies, I think you would fucking really dig them. A lot.
Alice in Chains
I know the
may be largely
in that
responsible
band.
For that.
You were sort of related to one of the guys.
I sort of am related to him, yeah. It's weird. It's a weird connection.
You like your sister's boyfriend or something?
No, he's my uncle's daughter's husband.
Uncle's daughter's husband, okay.
Yes.
Close.
It's close, yeah.
Ex-roommate, right?
Sure.
But so yeah, I'm still thinking on the question of like favorite grunge.
Yeah, I like early Blues Pearl Traveler. Jam. Blues Traveler, fuck you. They're not grunge.
I disagree. I don't have a good rebuttal.
Mudhoney?
Radiohead.
Not super familiar with Mudhoney. I've heard I know a little bit of their stuff, not a ton.
Bush.
Bush is after genre.
Hey man, that first Bush album.
I don't mind 16 Stone. Yeah, and actually there's some stuff good. There's some stuff off Razorblade Suitcase that I like too. So.
I can admit that.
Smashing Pumpkins.
I like Smashing Pumpkins.
I saw Alice in Chains back. We've mentioned this before, the Clash of the Titans show.
Yeah.
1990 was the first time I ever saw them. Fucking, I didn't know who they were. I knew I was a big fan of Anthrax already, a big fan of Slayer, big fan of Megadeth. So I was like, oh, who's this band opening? So when we were at the mall, I bought remember the long cases?
Mm-hmm. It was their first album. Cases?
It was the first album, and it came with like a live video cassette. Yes.
A VHS.
I still have
player.
That cassette too, called Live Facelift.
Well, was Facelift the first album?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if I could name any more grunge bands.
The first two albums that Stone Temple Pilots put out, I loved.
Stone Temple Pilots technically grunge.
Actually,
yeah, you're right.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Was when I first heard them, they were. Specifically, the song Interstate Love Song was one of the things that inspired me to pick up a guitar.
Really?
Was Interstate Love Song. And that and Collective Soul, actually. I used to be a huge Collective Soul fan.
Aren't you still?
I will still listen to them from time to time.
Melvins is technically a grunge band?
They have grunge stuff in them.
I always thought they were a punk band.
That's that relationship. Punk is in the family tree.
There's a lot more metal.
Temple of the Dog, essentially Soundgarden.
Well, Temple of the Dog was a band started because the singer from Mother Love Bone passed away.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was a big fan of Silverchair back in the day.
I was a huge Silverchair fan. I used to, like I said, this was the era where I was getting into music and where I started learning how to play music. I used to play the entire Frogstop album. I knew every note. I used to jam for hours.
Would you consider STP grunge?
I personally would.
I always consider their very first album was Core, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw them open up for Ministry and Sepultura,
That is weird.
It was supposed to be another band. I can't remember the name of the band, but all of a sudden they couldn't make the show. And this was like the Astor Arena type big show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was this band, Stone Temple Pilots, first time I'd ever heard of them.
Yeah, I liked those first two albums. I didn't care for anything I heard after that point.
Actually, if you've heard, they have a new album that just came out this past year.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not bad.
Who's singing for them now?
I don't know his name. He's not anybody big or anything like that, but it's really good.
I'll have to look into it.
You have to check it out, yeah.
So apparently I don't know much of the top 10 bands.
Who are the top 10 grunge bands?
And according to who?
According to loudwire.com.
Okay, I don't get
it for
much.
What it's worth.
Yeah.
So Mudhoney, I don't really know any of those
songs. Mudhoney are good.
They were kind of one of the sort of the groundbreakers in a way.
Hole, I was never a big fan.
Oh, fuck Hole.
They're not.
No.
No.
Mother Love Bone?
Yes.
Never heard of that.
So Mother Love Bone, kind of the general story there is so the guy from Mother Love Bone, like the front man, died. Had he not died, you would be talking about Mother
Andrew
Love
Wood.
Bone. Andrew Wood. Yeah. You would be talking about Andrew Wood and Mother Love Bone rather than talking
about Nirvana.
Nirvana.
Yeah, for sure.
That's generally
or Pearl Jam.
That's generally the consensus.
Mother Love Bone, foreign Pearl Jam. Right?
Yeah, that's what it says here. The group was notable pre-Pearl Jam.
Jeff Ament
and
Stone Jeff Ament's in Pearl Jam. Yeah, Stone Gossard's also in Pearl Jam.
Screaming Trees?
But that was also Andrew Wood's passing away was what inspired the Temple of the Dog project.
Oh, gotcha.
It was all those Seattle grunge guys doing a tribute to him.
You ever heard Screaming Trees?
No.
Oh, they're great.
I've not listened to much Screaming Trees.
Mark Lanegan, like the main guy, he's a great
Stone Temple Pilots, we talked about. Soundgarden, we talked about.
Love Soundgarden.
Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, we were just talking about.
I was heartbroken when Chris Cornell died.
Number one with a bullet, Nirvana.
Well, yeah. The first four Soundgarden albums are untouchable. They're amazing. Bad Motorfinger, one of my favorite albums. There's some great stuff. Meat Puppets are great too.
There's some good stuff from Meat Puppets, yeah.
Blood Circus?
Never heard of them.
Me neither. The Gits?
Nope.
My Sister's Machine? We all know what kind of machine that is.
I think I remember them.
I don't remember that name.
Blind Melon? Oh, I know that one, that No Rain song.
Yeah.
With the maybe, girl, I guess they are.
The girl in the bumblebee suit, I know that one.
Yeah.
Gruntruck? Gruntruck, whatever the fuck that is.
I don't know that one.
Okay, this list says Creed.
No. That list has officially become invalid.
That's hilarious.
Love Battery?
No. That's from My Sister's Machine.
And the U-Men?
The what?
U-Men.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, me neither. 7 Year Bitch.
Okay, I've heard of them.
They're Mark Ligon Band? Lanigan.
Lanigan? From Screaming Trees.
Pixies, I know. Sonic Youth, I know. Only because of movies and stuff.
My wife's in Sonic Youth.
Huh?
My wife is in that band.
Oh, yeah?
Well, at least her name is.
Oh. Mad Season?
Yeah. Have you heard Mad Season? It's Lane Staley.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's Lane's the Allison original Chains. Single from Alice in Chains.
I don't know any of the songs.
You probably do.
Really?
Probably. River of Deceit, I would be surprised if you don't know that song. Yep.
Okay.
Agreed.
Bush is on here, hey? Candlebox?
Candlebox, yeah.
I know that
I liked the first Candlebox album.
Grunge like for
they're basically
for me the term
like
the terminology
Pearl Jam. They sound they have the same tempo and all that bullshit.
Apparently, what's the big Candlebox song?
That one
which
song.
One? There were a few hits. First album had quite a number of hits. Far Behind.
There you go, Far Behind. There, you, that's the song I know.
They were on when I was going to work a couple weeks ago. When they played here live, they were on the radio that morning. And the singer said that song "Far Behind" was written about Andrew Wood.
Okay,
he's never really made that public, but that was the inspiration for that song. Interesting.
It was his gay lover or something?
No, he was just a big part of the Seattle music scene.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That was a fun trip through the 90s. So,
welcome back.
I enjoyed that.
It's a roundabout trip through the 90s grunge era.
Welcome back to the Grunge Geeks podcast. I think, you know, I'm not one of those metalheads that's like, oh, grunge was fucking horrible. I would still fucking listen to Pearl Jam and then follow that with like Cannibal Corpse or something. It's all heavy music to me. That's all that matters. You know what I mean?
How about just... music is music.
It's just,
I agree.
To me, it's just good music. Yeah. You know, and I mean, we've talked about this recently on the show. It's not really, again, not really a grunge band, but from that era, Counting Crows, I went to see them a couple weeks ago. I fucking love that band. You know,
that's awesome. It was the first time seeing them.
And right I also
no,
found
it was
out
my,
that.
It was my first time seeing them. It was almost 21 years, almost to the day.
Oh, wow.
Was the last time I saw Counting Crows.
And that's when we found out that me and Dave are closet live band fans.
Yeah.
I like live, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all closet live
fans. I think they mentioned this on the show. I've seen live once for one song only.
What song?
I was in L.A. one time. I don't remember. I was at in L.A. one time in Jay Leno.
After that episode last night, I went home and listened live all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. It was a good trip home.
So I got to see them on the Jay Leno show back in the day.
Jay Leno's coming back.
To what?
He has a new show.
Really?
It's called Leno's Garage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've heard about that. Is it a car show?
Yeah, it's a car show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, moving on from there. Windhand?
It's all right.
Doomy and grungy, right?
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
If you like that stuff.
Let's get ready to wrap up the show and talk about what's tickling our geeks.
Yeah. Touching our geeks.
You tickle the balls. Right?
Yes. All right, so it's that time of the month, I guess, instead of week.
It's that time of the weeks.
No, it's time of the month.
It's not my time of the month.
Catch for my drift. What we talk about?
I got what you're laying down.
Yeah, laying down. What's tickling my geeks?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
you go first.
Let's tickle your geeks. Me? You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Wow, all right. I got a couple of things. I guess by the time the show airs, it already have happened, but I'm fairly excited about it. This weekend is the Staple Independent Comic Media Expo, is what they're calling it, but it's an independent comic book show, really.
And I've always been meaning to go to this.
It's a great show. It's probably my favorite show of the year, because it's so small and intimate, and like all the creators really take time to sit and talk to you. And this will be my second year as a vendor there, and we'll be selling our comic there.
Issue 3 available now.
Issue 3 is available now, and we're gearing up to do a Kickstarter for issues 4 and 5 very soon. So I am doing that this weekend. I'll be there from Saturday and Sunday. It's in Austin, Texas. If you are listening to this by the time this goes out, which I doubt, be sure to come on out. If not, always go to Grey Bear Comics and you can pick up a copy there. The next thing that
now your shameless self-promotion is done.
What else? It's never shameless, sir. I don't have no shame.
That's probably true. I stand corrected. Or I sit corrected, actually.
The next thing I'm really excited for is I bought movie tickets for a new Nicolas Cage movie that's coming out next week at Alamo Drafthouse.
And it's new Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, new Nicolas Cage movie where he looks like he's going to take on the devil himself or the occult or something with a giant chainsaw.
Azathoth or something.
Yeah, something. I don't know. It looks awesome. It's called Mandy. And
does it get to go full Nicolas Cage?
It looks like he goes beyond
full. I still haven't
Nicolas
seen
Cage.
Mom and Dad yet.
Oh, that's great. It's a fun movie. Not good by any stretch of the imagination, but it's fun for just Nicolas Cage alone. I am a big Nicolas Cage fan of how crazy he can be. He makes all bad movies very entertaining.
He does get pretty cageness.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a double feature. The first movie is going to be Mandy, and the second movie is a mystery movie. So I don't know what it is, but I'm excited, and I will gladly report in next time we record.
Nice.
Yeah. Dave?
I'm excited that the best time of the year is quickly coming.
You mean Halloween time?
It's Halloween.
It's the Halloween season.
Hell yeah.
And with that, this year,
pumpkin spice
bitches.
Joking.
He's not joking.
I am joking.
He gets it every day.
I like pumpkin, actually.
Pumpkin pie is my favorite pie, so.
No, not me. I like smashing them.
You're that asshole.
But with all of the horror movies and ghost stories and candles and all the awesome stuff that I love.
I don't know what it is about this year, but I'm actually more excited about Halloween this year than I have been in the previous years.
I kind of get that vibe
Maybe
myself.
Maybe it's the movie coming out, Halloween.
Maybe, but not likely. Because
mine has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, because like I'm excited for the movie, but I'm not having high hopes for it. So that's not my thing. I don't know why. It's something in the atmosphere, I guess. Something buzzing in the air that's making me excited for Halloween this year.
I kind of agree. Kind of feeling that, too. But this is always my favorite time of year. And this year, adding to my excitement, concerts in October.
Holy fuck.
Stacking up pretty good.
Yes.
I'm going to the Amorphous Dark Tranquility Omnium Gatherum Moonspell show, which I'm looking forward to immensely.
I'm still debating whether to buy the meet and greet, because
it's a good deal.
For all four bands, it's like $80.
Yeah.
That would definitely add to my drumhead collection.
And
even though I have an Amorphous already.
Get another one.
It's true.
This time
later,
get like a drum
in October.
Drum. Mm-hmm.
The other show I'm already set to go to, Behemoth at the Gates and Wolves in the Throne Room.
What day is that?
That is the 24th of October.
Okay.
And it is a Wednesday, which works great for me during October because I have no free weekends.
Well, the 20th is a Saturday.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Which is Karak, Angrin, Wolfheart, and Mors Principium Est. That's going to be a killer show.
Yep. And then here in, 2 weeks, Revocation and Rivers of Nile playing.
Oh, dude, for real?
I really want to go. It's the night before dress rehearsal at TRF, and I don't know
what
if
day
I
is
can.
It on.
It's a Friday.
Shit.
What day? The 15th?
Hang on, I
just got the promo for the new Revocation actually today.
It's the 21st.
I really like Rivers of Nile a lot. Like, since I just discovered them recently, they're fucking awesome. So that being said.
And then in November.
We need to get George to a real metal show like that.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
What do you mean, like a real metal show? I've been to a real metal show.
What?
I don't know. Name something. I've probably been to it.
Cannibal Corpse.
No, I wouldn't go to that. I don't like Cannibal Corpse.
Napalm Death.
Another band I wouldn't listen to.
River of the Nile.
I would like to go.
Well, that's what we're saying. We need.
I went to the Anthrax show with you.
Okay, yes. But I'm talking like a. No disrespect to Anthrax or Killswitch or whoever was on that show.
Excuse me.
Because Anthrax, you know, I was one of my favorite bands, but. Like, so you've been to a real metal show?
Metal show?
Like an extreme metal show? You haven't been to a real metal show?
I don't know. I've seen Slayer. I've seen Slipknot like 3 times.
I'm sorry.
Well, I like Slipknot.
I'm sorry.
And I've seen Mudvayne 2 times.
Well, I'm definitely sorry there.
And I've seen Pyroman 5000 back in the day when they first came out.
I'm really sorry.
Those were good shows. I saw Soulfly. Those were a fun show.
Okay, Soulfly's cool. Sometimes.
I've been to a lot of shows, man. It's a lot to go through in my head, but I've been to a lot of shows.
So you know what's tickling my geek?
Spider-Man?
Well, besides Spider-Man, 2 shows coming up this next week for me. As we're recording this, tomorrow night on Friday...
Spider-Man.
Well, besides Spider-Man coming out in the stores, it's Spider-Man, actually.
What?
It's his name. Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Spidman?
Spider-Man.
Spidman.
I get to finally meet one of my idols.
Spider-Man?
Shut up with Spider-Man. No, I actually...
Peter Parker.
Yes, sorry. So now it's ruined.
Oh.
I can't tell you now.
Okay.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Can I
please,
say it?
Please say it.
All right.
It's Spider-Man. I know it
tomorrow
is.
Tomorrow night is the Michael Nesmith show.
Michael? And, oh, the Monkees show.
And I have a meet and greet ticket for him.
Is it here in Houston?
It's here in Houston.
Oh, right on.
I'm super looking forward to that. I've never met him.
Is this like one of those like intimate play in front of like 20 people? Height?
No, it's probably more than 20 people. Is it the Height Theater, which I've never been there?
Mm.
It's a smaller venue, probably, you know, 200-400 people, that type of thing.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of people.
Maybe. But I'm super looking forward to
that. You going to like wig out and get really shaky and nervous when you talk to him?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah.
You've spoken to like top bill people before.
I know, I have.
No, I get it. Like I've met tons of people too, and it's usually like not a big deal. Like I don't usually freak out, but there have been a couple of people that
you can get a little. Get
who
a
are
little
those? Who are those people?
Fan
for you?
Crazy.
Let's see. Who have I kind of freaked out a little bit? Dave Mustaine a little bit.
Okay.
We didn't really like hang out or talk or anything. It was very fast.
I've never actually met Dave Mustaine.
It was very, very brief. God, who else have I kind of? Oh, Brian Posehn. I kind of freaked out on Brian Posehn when I met him.
Did you scare him? He's like, argh!
I might have scared him a little bit, actually.
Yeah, he has that weird nasally voice.
He was attending a comic convention that we were at.
He wasn't a guest.
He was an attendee.
Oh, weird.
He was on tour and happened to be in town while the convention was going.
You know, he did like a little stint on Deadpool for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But
it was Jerry Duggan.
He happened to be at the show, and he walked by our table, and I was like, holy shit, that was Brian Posehn. And I literally jumped over our table and like ran down the aisle after him.
Wait.
Yeah, I basically was. He was really cool. Like, he took a picture with me, and you know, like, he was really nice about it, but I'm sure I probably freaked him out a little bit. That was more of the, I think, the surprise of it for me, that because it was totally unexpected.
Yeah.
So it took me off guard. I think that was probably a lot of it there.
So, for me, I mean, Michael Nesmith, of course, he's, like, the only one of the 4 members that I've never met. And he's always been one of my favorites.
Which one's the Michael Nesmith?
Which one is the night?
Yeah, yeah.
That one right there.
Oh, okay.
He's actually born...
I thought he was dead. Sorry.
No, that's Davy Jones. That's dead. But...
Goes to show you, I don't remember.
He was on tour. Him and Mickey were doing a show. They were doing, like, a tour back, like, a few months ago. Like in March, and they had to cancel the rest of the tour because he had wound up getting quadruple heart surgery. Major problems.
No longer skinny, I take it.
He's like in his late 70s.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. What does it matter if he's skinny or not?
Usually it's a good indicator if you're going to have triple bypass surgery.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Are you?
Am I going to have triple bypass? I don't know. I probably will. I probably will die from a heart attack tomorrow.
High five. Same here.
Hell yeah. All right. This took a dark turn.
And this is my last will and testament here, probably. Complaining about movies.
Well, that's always going to be. You're always going to have that. Besides the Michael Nesmith concert tomorrow night, we are going to see Halloween on Monday. I'm fucking excited for this.
Let's go back to the monkeys thing.
Well, okay.
What are you going to have him sign? Since you have a VIP pass and all.
Just a meet and greet, not a VIP.
Just a meet and greet.
Probably, hopefully this. This drum head right here that was signed by Mickey Dolenz.
Right on. Mickey Dolenz is a real frail one, right?
No.
He just recently came out with an album like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
He's the square-faced one. He always wears a hat.
Yes.
Okay.
That's because he's bald as fuck.
Oh, okay.
That's why he wears a hat.
He wears like a big...
Yes.
Big hat.
He's bald as you can get.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Up top.
Up top.
Could wear a yarmulke if you wanted to, but yeah, I'm super excited.
Right on.
You know,
is there a particular song you want him to play?
I pretty much know the set list. He's playing songs from his
lame. Why are you gonna spoil it for yourself?
Because he's touring on a live album that was recorded earlier this year. So, it's pretty much the songs from his first three albums from the 70s. That right after he left the band, the Monkees, he started this band called the First National Band. And this is like the redux of it. That's what they're calling it.
The Redux?
First National Band Redux.
Mm.
Both of his sons are in it. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a family affair.
Yep. I'm a big fan of Christian Nesmith, too. Him and his girlfriend is an artist named Circe. There you go. It's C-I-R-C-E.
It's like from Game of Thrones.
Spelled differently, I think.
Oh.
But yeah. I'm excited for it.
Cool,
go back to Halloween.
Halloween.
We are going to
see... It's a great time of the year. I know. I like Halloween a lot, too.
I know you're going to go there. This isn't a... I've seen Halloween before in Chicago.
I've seen Halloween, too. Every year, actually.
Shut up. You're taking away what's tickling my geek, and it's annoying me now.
I'm just having fun. That's all. I'm sorry.
But this is, like, the Pumpkins United tour. So, it's actually all three vocalists that the band has ever had are on tour together.
Uh-huh.
So you have Kai Hansen, who is, you know, now in Gamma Ray.
I never heard of that.
Michael Kiske, and then their vocalist they've had for a long time from the 90s, Andy Darris.
Okay.
So they're all three performing live together.
Is that, like, unheard of for a while? It just hasn't happened in a long time?
There was a lot of beef between everybody in this band.
God damn it. Yeah. Fucking beef.
I know. They squashed the beef.
Yeah.
Now they're touring together. There's supposed to be a new album. They put a new song out together last year and everything.
I remember you playing some Halloween for me. It wouldn't be. Yeah.
It's exactly the kind of thing George hates.
Yes.
That's awesome.
George hates Halloween. But me and my wife love the band, and this is going to be an amazing night. Get to hang out with some friends up in Chicago, and next episode of Metal Geeks is going to be recorded next week in Chicago. We're going to be hanging out with November's Doom.
Cool.
I won't be there.
You won't.
I won't be there either.
Yeah, so be
there in spirit.
Be a one-third of Metal Geeks.
And
say hi to Larry for me.
I will give a shout-out because Vito and Corleone. Larry. Not Vito. No. Vito. Jesus Christ almighty. Vito and Larry from November.
It's after
June.
George's bedtime.
I think it is. They have a podcast themselves called Geeking Poetic Podcast.
Geeking Poetic?
Geeking Poetic.
Cool. Fucking poetic, but geeking. I get it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Clever.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with these guys. I've seen November's Doom once in my life, and that was like in 2001 at the Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Cool.
A long time ago.
So what are y'all going to do?
We're getting together Tuesday night.
And go see Halloween.
Well, they're going to be there. He'll be there Monday night, too.
Oh, okay. Are they, like, playing there, or?
Who?
November's Doom.
No, they're not playing. I wish. That'd be even better, but And then I'm hanging out with a couple of friends that used to be, live here in Houston. And
hey, I live in Chicago now.
I live in Chicago now. We're going to hang out. Yep. An old friend of mine from like the time we used to, he used to be in a band called, he's in a band still called Blood Throne. A friend of mine named Troy. I used to stay with him in like New Jersey. Not Troy and Abed. I know you're thinking.
I didn't say nothing.
I'm not Abed. We went to Milwaukee Metal Fest together and all this kind of stuff back in the day. And we're going to hang out one night. We used to, back in like way in the like early 2000s, the aughts, I used to do a lot of cassette trading, like video cassette, like bootleg
like
trading.
Like VHS?
Yeah.
Like or bootleg like tape cassette.
No, bootleg video stuff.
Of what?
It's concerts and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yep.
How suspect.
Not really.
FBI is going to rain down on you now. You're putting that out in the ether. They want their VHSs back.
They can have them. I used to film shows for a while, and people would trade and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Oh, at least you weren't taking money for it, so I guess they will give you a pass.
No, never took money for it.
But they still want their VHSs back.
They can have them. They're probably in some landfill somewhere by now.
I actually have, like, at my parents' house, I have, like, two giant boxes full of VHS movies.
I still have a few, but not a lot. I got rid of a lot of them.
They're all in my parents' storage.
But, yeah, that's my trip to Chicago and deep dish pizza. That's what I'm looking forward to as well.
And you like speed metal burgers or something like that?
Yeah, Kuma Burgers.
Hey, yeah.
It's started off with one location. Now there's like four locations. It's a heavy metal based burger place.
All right.
All the burgers are named after metal bands.
They really missed out on calling it Demean Burger.
That was in Metalocalypse.
I know. They missed out on an opportunity. They should have capitalized on it. They gave it to them on a silver platter.
Well, Kuma's been around for a while, though. Yeah. They have a thing called the Slayer Burger. Which is like an open
Does it rain blood?
With like chili and it could rain blood. Depends on depends if your body can accept it. If you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Dirty.
Yes, it is. But that's it.
That's cool, man. I'm excited for you going to Chicago. I've always wanted to go to Chicago.
Well, we're going. The main reason we're going is a personal family thing we're doing.
Yeah, but you know, business and pleasure.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So, yeah, we're prepared for. Everything's ready for what we needed to go up there for.
Cool.
So yeah, we're gonna be there a couple days, like 3 days, 3 or 4 days, and we'll have fun.
Right on, man. Well, I hope you have a good trip. You're gonna have to report back and let us know how it goes.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be some pictures.
Sure.
You ready to talk about our sponsor and then get the hell out of here?
Word. I think you're ready for us to get the hell out of here, as opposed to you. I mean,
well, let's pass your bedtime.
It'd be weird if you left.
Yeah, I could. But I'm not going to.
I think it's past your bedtime.
It probably is. It's almost 11 o'clock at night, so yeah, it is past my bedtime. My alarm on my phone has gone off.
I'm a creature of the night, so, you know.
I could be awake for days.
So let's talk about our sponsor real quick.
Yep.
Go for it.
Do it.
No, you do it.
Let's do it.
You do it
this time. It's tantrumcollectibles.com.
There you go.
They sell collectibles and things.
Like
collectibles.
Like Funko collectibles?
Yeah.
Bandai
artifacts? If you just happen to be one of those people who like to collect stuff and like anime and Funko Pop and not afraid of that bubble bursting at any moment, you know, just get over to tantrumcollectibles.com and, you know, look for the stuff that tickles your fancy.
Tickles your geek.
Tickles your geek and, you know... I guess stay on brand.
Right.
You know, what Funko if I went Pop, to the, it's like what the if most I went accessible to the, way to get into your fandom.
What if I went to the website and I wanted to save money?
You know, you could, you know, search it by lowest price.
What else could I do?
Or you can just get what you really want and just, you know, get 10% off when you type in Metal Geeks.
When I check out?
Yeah, when you check out.
That's awesome.
This is a checkout coupon thing. I'm sure you bought things on the internet before. You know how to do this.
Yes, I do.
So
it's Metal Geeks is the code?
Metal Geeks.
Okay.
Plural.
Pluralized.
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 Pluralize.
All right.
Not pluralize.
I'm going to do that.
Yep.
All right.
Anything do else? It. Yeah, he should have cooler stuff, like stuff I want to collect.
Like
stuff they sell in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. Japan is like, I've been looking for this runaway brain Mickey Mouse that I can't find anywhere.
Who made it?
I don't know. Some Japanese company.
I feel like I saw that like Insomnia one time.
It's very ultra rare, and if you find them on Amazon, they're like $120. And I'm not going to pay $120 for a 6-inch figure.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, so, but it's really cool, and Runaway Brain is probably like my favorite Mickey Mouse thing. So, Tangible Collectibles, get on it and give it to me now.
All right.
Yeah, or, well, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great.
Just ignore them. I'm sorry to our sponsor.
I'm not.
You should be. I'd like to remind everybody about our social media. You can find Metal Geeks at Metal Geeks on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Of course, you can find our sister show at MSRcast on all the same platforms. You can find Georgie over here at Gray Bear, GRAYBEAR. That's his comic company. Or at George Tripsis on the Twitchers. And you can find Red at Red Viking Dave for Brutal Dave over here. And you can find us, of course, at MetalGeeks.net, your source. You can also find us on your iTunes, your Spotify now, your Stitcher, all those good places. And, of course, check us out on ESOPodcast.com. All right, so I think that will wrap up the episode. Any last things you guys want to talk about or mention?
No.
Fine.
Love, peace, and chicken grease.
All right.
Be excellent to each other.
Totally, especially since now Bill and Ted 3 may not be happening.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was happening.
I thought it was happening too, but it's not.
Why?
Because they can't find a producer to put you, money into it.
You go produce it then.
If I was a millionaire, I would. I'd tell Keanu Reeves, let's do this.
Sell your Ninja Turtle posters and go produce them.
that would only give them like a half of a fraction of what they need. But yeah, sure.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to episode number 152 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I have one last thing I have to say.
What's that?
Keep it metal.
Keep it Halloween.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. No, you can't do that because it's not October yet.
Shit doesn't matter. No, it's Halloween. It's time.
Actually, it's like Christmas time. I went into the store. There's fucking Christmas shit already.
I'll keep it Halloween. Does that work?
There you go.
Yeah.
Keep it metal. Keep it always geeky because we love you.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Okay, auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one. Go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge. Who takes the Pandora Cup? Takes the universe. But, bad news everyone. Cause guess who? Ha. Listen, you lot you're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not bad. Can you do another? Maybe something less wordy.
He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and can see the turn of the universe and he's wonderful.
Wow, a little dark. Anything a little lighter?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Maybe. Got something a little fresher?
I am not a good man. And I'm not a bad man. I am not a hero. And I'm definitely not a president. And, no, I'm not an officer. Do you know what I am? I am an idiot with a box and a screwdriver.
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.